World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Good evening. A program note, we're going to be off beginning Monday of next week for the holiday season, and we do this every year. We will be available to you on our website, philhendryshow.com. We're kicking off a whole new year with a whole new, an entirely new effort toward more interaction with you, our BSPs, and listeners. And beginning next week, we'll have periodic video casts. We will have, as well, on radio, our best ofs. But on Phil TV, we will also have evening video events, whether it is a best of or it is a live event of some kind. At some point, I'm going out of town, and I will be in the Washington, D.C. area, I anticipate, at some point next week. So I will be there for Senate subcommittee hearings.
Really?
No, I'm kidding.
You say that, and they believe all that stuff.
Well, all right, no, I'm not.
Well, I'll tell you, I didn't believe that.
No, I know you didn't, General, but...
Yeah, well, you said you're going to be in Washington.
Yeah, you can go to Washington and not be at Senate subcommittee hearings.
But a lot of people do, though.
Yeah, well, Robert, a lot of people do a lot of things, and just because you go to Washington, D.C. doesn't mean you're in a Senate subcommittee hearing. I was in Washington, D.C. many times, sightseeing.
Yeah, well, and that's something I want to do. I want to go and see...
You want to go and see where Lincoln got his head shot off, and I think it's very morbid.
No, it's not morbid. It's history. History. H-I-S-T-O-R-Y. History. Very, very important.
All right, Phil, fine. You don't have to emphasize with your finger on the table.
Well, Phil, I admire the effort at learning about here. What are you going to go see?
Nothing. I want to see the city. I think Washington, I've been going to Washington, D.C. because of my friend Barry Louise, who's had surgery and just been going back there to check on her. And in so going back to Washington, D.C., and she's very involved in the political scene back there. She's heavy into a lot of grassroots neighborhood stuff that she does for different candidates for office. But in going back to Washington just to see her, I've been in the city, and suddenly I find myself really drawn to that city. I don't know why I ever thought I wouldn't be. I mean, I never thought that I wouldn't be. Meaning, what I'm saying, Bud, is that I never thought about not being attracted to Washington, but when I went there, I was.
Yeah, see, that doesn't make no sense.
Say that again. Say that again better.
What do you mean, say it again better?
What do you mean?
I mean, when I went back to Washington, I never anticipated going back to Washington, D.C.,
That you would like it there.
Well, no, not that I would like it. It never occurred to me, as much of a history fan as I am, why wouldn't it occur to me? See what I'm saying?
See, that don't make no sense either.
Yeah, you've got to say it better than that.
What do you mean, say it better than that? It never occurred to me...
But hold on, Phil. It never occurred to you, in going back to it's all about the way you structure the sentence, you know that?
Yeah.
All right. It never occurred to you... In going back to Washington, D.C., I'm sorry, my throat's drying out.
I'm getting a drink of water.
Okay, anybody else?
Well, the general's telling you.
Yeah, but he's off getting a drink of water now.
Hold on, I've got it. All right, I got the drink. It never occurred to you. No, hold on.
Okay, so I think I know what he's going to say. It never occurred to me when I went back to Washington that I would be very much a fan of that city, and it should have, you know.
Because of your affection for history.
Exactly, exactly. And when you go to that town, if you are like me and you like history and you see whether it's the monuments or whether it's the Jefferson Memorial, the Lincoln Memorial, I mean, every time leaving the National Airport, they used to go Washington National Airport, Reagan National, and you leave the airport and you're going into Georgetown, which is generally where I stay, you're always going by the Lincoln Memorial. You're always going by the Jefferson Memorial. You always go by the Washington Monument. You're going by the Treasury Building. You're going by the old Patton Building. There's all of these moments, all of these historical moments. And the thing that I'm reading right now, which is, you want to know about the present, read the history. That there's nothing more relevant than reading history as it pertains to the present. Because you're always going to see something that you read there that applies to you. You'll go, wow, that's why this is the way it is, because stuff back then was like that. And
see, that don't make no sense either.
It does make sense, Bud, to somebody who is, like, smart. But you, you know...
Yes, but when you're going, that don't make no sense.
Well...
Yeah, uh-huh. So anyway, yeah, so I'm going to have a good time. Hopefully if I get back to D.C., but in the most recent moments of my life, I've had these arguments with... not arguments, but I've been exchanging these emails with my accountant, and it's all, you know, it's the end of the year. What's going on? I mean, I told you. And I said, well, you know, all this stuff, keeping records, they used to pay the bills over there, then I started to pay them here. So now I got to sit and go through all kinds of...
Yes, in other words, Phil, you have to do what most Americans do. They go through their receipts, they go through their statements, they figure out what's for business, what's personal, and they make the proper notations, and they give that to their accountant. And that was what I was telling you about.
Well, you know, Phil, that is true. And, you know, I'm the last person to want to pile on here. But you should have been aware of that.
Well, he's not aware of those things. You wanted them to do it for you.
Because they used to do it for me. And I understand I took it over and I butchered it left and right. So anyway, if I don't get to go back to D.C., it's because I'm still sitting here on my ass going through receipts and doing taxes.
Well, Stan, Senator, tax not due until April the 15th.
Nah, yeah, I know they're not due till April the 15th, but if you're doing it right, and if you've got an accountant that's on is on the game, like my guy is, he wants you to get your act together long before April the 15th. Believe you me, my man. You know.
Yeah, you said he's going to clean you out of house and home.
No, I just said that I'm not going to have that. You know, I've had a lot of business expense. All right, this is really, forget it. So anyway, welcome to the program. Nice to see you guys. That's what I wanted to say. Is that next week, and it's very important to know, we are taking the week off the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Now, the other big news within hours, because we just hooked up with the people at TuneIn, within hours, you will be able to find our own dedicated channel on TuneIn. The Phil Henry Show will be a standalone feed on TuneIn. We'll let you know when that happens, and as I said, it will be within hours. And you'll be able to listen to our show live. For those of you who are watching us now on Phil TV, for those of you who are in a city, you're listening to us on the radio, and we're very, very grateful for our affiliates. But we're in some places where there is no affiliate. You're going to be able to use your TuneIn app and go directly to the Phil Henry feed and listen. You won't have to be listening necessarily. You won't have to go through any search to find us on whatever feed. You can find us as a standalone feed on TuneIn. As I say, that will be happening within hours. We just signed the paperwork.
Yes, I know there have been furious emails going back and forth. The paperwork has been signed. If you don't mind, Phil.
Go ahead.
The paperwork has been signed. Phil did consult with his attorney. There were last-minute negotiations.
Well, Margaret, this is not, you know...
Excuse me.
Yeah, but it's not, we're not, this is not the Paris peace talks, okay?
No, but hold on. Well, no, but you don't want to, Phil, you don't want yourself presented on TuneIn like you're some kind of a monkey. You want it to be respectful.
It's going to be respectful. Don't worry about it. So,
Well, why didn't you have your attorney look at that?
I don't need my attorney to, anyway, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Coming up, we have Dave Oliva to talk about Santa Claus, the pet Santa. Did you know that they have a pet Santa?
What is that again?
A pet Santa.
What's that?
It's a Santa Claus who listens, who has the pets. They come to Santa Claus.
Well, they don't speak English. I don't know. I don't understand.
What are they talking to Santa Claus about?
It's not about talking to Santa Claus. You bring your pet to Santa Claus. The pet sits in Santa's lap.
Takes a crap.
Yes, I mean, how do you...
All right. Anyway, Dave Oliva is going to talk with us about that coming up, the pet Santa. And we have other things to discuss, including an openly the new delegation of the 2014 Olympics with openly gay athletes and a winner, one of the winners in the Mega Millions. This woman is a very prosperous looking, very lovely lady. She is a manager. She's an analyst, I think, at a insurance company. And now she's I figure after the 50% taxes, $135 million richer than she was yesterday. Phil Henry Show, and bringing on the air right now, the Phil Henry Show is Dave Oliva. Dave, a student at L.A. Canyon College and a frequent contributor on our program about law enforcement security matters. Dave is an aspiring LAPD He wants to be an LAPD police officer. He's taking his law enforcement criminal justice classes at LA Canyon. Also joining us is, coincidentally, one of his, not one of his professors, one of the professors at LA Canyon, which is Emery Clayton. And I wanted to talk to Professor Clayton, and Dave is on the line with us because Dave coincidentally had been there at the Westfield Mall and was watching Professor Clayton doing, it's not really a part-time job, Professor Clayton, what's going on here? It's not really a part-time job as far as I understand it. It's just something that you wanted to do on behalf of the people who are pet owners, because you're a pet owner, right?
That is absolutely correct, Bill. I'm a lover of beagles, and my wife and I have four of these animals, and we enter them in different competitions. Beagles, if people are not aware, are great tunnelers. They are diggers, and they're as well animals that are good running down smaller mammals, foxes, and this kind of thing. I think we see these animals. We see these beagles, I should say, in some of the traditional paintings you see when you're looking at fox hunts. Now, I have always been very active in the kennel club that we belong to, and as such, this year I was invited to be a Santa at the Westberger Mall, is the name of it, Phil, up here in the northern L.A. County.
I'm sorry.
And I was invited to be a Santa Claus for the pets. People could bring their pets in. Dave is a student at L.A. Canyon. He's not a student of mine, and I'm not sure exactly how he figures in here, but I do know that he was at the mall, and he was observing, and I thought it was interesting that the two of us are sort of appearing on the same program.
I don't know if we had told you, either one of you, beforehand that you'd be on together. It just sort of worked out that way because we found out that Dave was doing a paper on the pet Santa phenomenon, if you want to call it that, or the you know, popularity of bringing your pet to a Santa Claus. Dave, is that pretty close to how it is?
Well, yeah, I would say it is, Mr. Ernie. First, I want to say good evening to Professor Clayton, sir. How are you?
I'm very good, Dave.
Yes, sir. I had heard about this pet Santa at the Westberger Mall, which is very close to L.A. Canyon, the campus of L.A. Canyon. And I wanted to go out and observe. I did not know it was Professor Clayton.
Did you recognize him?
When I got to the mall, they had told me one of my friends was with me. He said, that's Professor Clayton. I didn't know it was him because they had on the beard and so forth.
All right, so you, Professor Clayton, you are dressed as Santa Claus, right?
Yeah, you're dressed as Santa Claus, and the people bring their pets in, and they have them sit on my lap, and they take the pictures. For those of us who don't have children, Phil, and enjoy pets and enjoy animals, as I do and my wife does, it is a nice aspect. I think it gives us an opportunity, you know, to enjoy Christmas as much as people who may have children.
All right, Dave, tell me what your interest in this was.
Well, my interest was to take a look at, first of all, the security procedures for something that is an unusual event. We had been doing some studying on the security, how security procedures change from event to event, especially if it is unusual and could attract individuals. And this is no comment on Professor Clayton at all. It's no comment on any of the people that go to the pet Santa Claus, but any event that may attract people that are unbalanced or have a unusual or way out, you know, excuse me, I don't know the words.
Well, unusual or very extreme.
If I could jump in, Phil, I don't want anyone to get the idea that taking your pet to a pet Santa Claus means that you're psycho or anything like that.
No, sir, I'm not saying that, Professor. I apologize. I'm just saying that an unusual event like that, where you take your dog to Santa Claus, could attract individuals that may be unbalanced or.
So, in other words, you're saying the more unusual the event, the more likely it's going to attract unbalanced individuals?
That was the theorem, you know, in studying different events. When you have, for instance, in 1876 at the American Centennial in Philadelphia, which was the first centennial the country would ever have. I mean, we've only had two. We had a centennial, we had a bicentennial In 1876, at the American Centennial in Philadelphia, a man stood on a box in the middle of a crowded walkway, and fortunately there were not too many people that were injured, but he had a bottle of acid that he threw on the crowd.
Oh, my God.
That happened when?
Yes, sir, that happened in 1876. And you know, it's like an unusual event is going to attract, you know, unusual or aberrant behavior like that.
Well, are you saying, if I want to ask a question here, David, are you saying that we would attract, my event would attract violent people like that?
No, not necessarily, but just unbalanced and unusual people that I might want to keep an eye on. If the Secret Service is looking for a man who has threatened the life of the president, or if the Secret Service is looking for a man who is just, you know, who's been sending mail, you know, saying weird things, you know, like if he has a picture, he cut out a picture and cut the eyes out of the picture and put a mustache on it or something, you don't know. So,
You're saying that the man who cuts out a picture, I'm just trying to be clear here, Phil.
Go ahead.
That man's going to show up at a Santa Claus.
I don't know, sir. I don't think so, but when I heard of the event at the Westburger Mall, that you were going to be there as Santa Claus and you would have the pets to tell you what they want, you know, it to me.
No, the pets are not telling me. let me, if I could, Phil, I think I need to jump in here.
Go ahead. By the way, we have Professor Emery Clayton with us from L.A. Canyon College and a student at L.A. Canyon, Dave Oliva. The two of them were unaware of each other's, the two of them were at the same event, both doing something different. Professor Clayton was a pet Santa Claus at the Westburger Mall up near the campus. Dave was there doing some research on a paper he's doing for security procedures. Dave takes a criminal justice law enforcement classes at L.A. Canyon. And as I was mentioning, Dave, you do eventually want to enter the Los Angeles Police Academy?
Oh, yes, sir, that's correct, in Elysian Park. And I very much look forward to, you know, hopefully it's been my dream.
To become a member of the L.A. Police?
Yes, sir.
Okay. 855-500-7445 is our number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Professor Clayton, sir, go ahead. You wanted to make some points here.
Well, I think it's important, Phil, to state that being a Santa Claus, again, this was completely separate from my duties, my profession as a teacher and lecturer at L.A. Canyon College. This is something my wife and I involve ourselves in on weekends, which is a kennel club for the Canine Beagle Association of Southern California. And we enjoy very much the beagle and the other dogs. And so when they had this Santa Claus for pets, where you could come and have your pet sit in Santa's lap, you know, it's for people...
No, I get it. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, so it's for people who have no children, or maybe you do have children, but you want to bring your pet. It's mostly a photo opportunity. So you can have the picture of the dog there with Santa Claus, and you have a moment that you capture on film. And for those of us that are dog lovers and animal lovers, pet lovers, this is a fun moment for us as well. The dogs look like they're having a good time. We've got treats for the dogs. We have toys, chew toys, this kind of thing, and so forth. So I want to dispel the notion that there are individuals coming to the Santa Claus for Dogs event that are attracted to it because they are abstract, is the word that you use, Dave, abstract or weird.
Well, no, the word that we use in law enforcement, at least in the classes, they're real different. They're abstract.
That doesn't tell me anything.
Yeah, what is that? Doesn't mean they're mentally ill.
No, it doesn't mean they're mentally ill. You can't say they're mentally ill if they're not mentally ill. But if they're real different, you know, like real abstract, you want to keep an eye on them.
Yeah, but I don't know what that means. He's real abstract. Excuse me, I'm coughing. What's that mean? He's real abstract.
It's just like if you ever saw the very famous movie Rebel Without a Cause, where he goes, hey, he's different, he's real abstract, you know?
So you're using a colloquial phrase from a film?
Is that, in other words, to define it?
Yes, sir, to define an individual at a public event, that it may be there to be, to be weird.
Well, that's not necessarily dangerous, see? That's the point that I'm trying to make.
All right, well, look, we're only talking about one, if you'll pardon me using the word, I was going to say not abstract, we're talking about one aspect of an event that people may attend, and that is the aspect of safety, or whoever may be, how the security is run at one of these events. We haven't yet talked about any great length with Professor Clayton, the joy of having a dog, a cat, a pet, and in some way incorporating them into your enjoyment of the holiday season. So we're going to get into that when we come back. World famous Phil Henry shows. We talk about the pet Santa Claus that Professor Clayton was playing there at the mall, and Dave Oliva looking for real abstract and different people at these things. You know? Phil Henry Show and PhilHenryShow.com. PhilHenryShow.com. We have a stalker on our radio show. This guy has been calling my show every day for years and years and years and years. And I tell you what, I'm about this close to making him a really famous guy and putting his name right out on the air here on Phil Henry Show. And in fact, when we get on TuneIn and the Mormon Church finds out this guy is bothering us, because this guy is an ex-Mormon missionary. Are you ready for this? The guy's an ex-Mormon missionary. Now he's stalking my show, harassing our workplace here, harassing my home. You wouldn't believe this guy. And I think he's the only stalker in the history of stalking that's more afraid of the guy that he's stalking than the guy is of him. I would love this guy to show his face.
Well, Phil, now, come on.
No, I'm just, you know.
Yeah, you're doing it. Kill the guy or something.
No, but I mean, I'd love for the guy to show his face. And then I could make the claim, look at this guy. This is the guy that's been stalking me. Bang, there goes all of his front teeth, which in your case, man, would be fantastic because you know you got those rat teeth. So I think that, or if you'd like, I'll take a pair of pliers and straighten them for you, whichever you'd like. All right, world famous Phil Henry Show and PhilHenryShow.com. On the line with me here is the very wonderful Emery Clayton, and we also have Dave Oliva at the, both of you guys are at the Westburger Mall. Is that where you guys are right now?
Missouri, I'm at the Westburger Mall right now. I'm just continuing my studies, continuing my study of the layout of the place, you know.
Yes, I wanted to mention something, Phil, because I was talking to Dave during the break. Now, Dave said he was at the mall, the Westburger Mall there, and he said that he was studying, or otherwise he was studying the layout. Now, what does that mean, Dave, you're studying the layout?
Well, I wanted to see... if there's some kind of psycho or weirdo, you know, where he would be accommodated.
See, that's what I resent. I told you already that just because I'm a mall Santa Claus does not mean that I'm a psycho or a weirdo.
I don't think he's saying that you're a psycho or a weirdo, you know. I think he's saying that there may be psychos and weirdos attracted. Is that right, Dave?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's true. I don't know if that's 100% true, you know, because look,
what does that mean, 100% true?
Well, I mean, look, if you're a psycho weirdo, you know, and you want to take your dog to see Santa Claus, see, to me, and I talked to my professor, Dr. Cohen, I said, I'd like to go to this mall where there's a psycho, not a psycho, but,
my problem is that he is equating me, because I'm a Santa Claus and I have a dog on my lap.
Yeah, but it looks like you're talking to the dog, you know.
You don't think he's talking to the dog, do you? I mean, you just heard the professor say it's a photo op.
No, I know it's a photo op, but if you are talking to the dog...
Look, I'm not talking to a dog. I've got the dog in my lap, and we're making it look like I'm talking to the... Not even making it look like I'm talking to the dog, because the dog is sitting in my lap staring at the camera. I'm staring at a camera. So we're not making it look like I'm talking to a dog.
You did say to me, sir, and I did, at that time and at that place, I did then see a lady take a picture of you looking at the dog, and the dog is looking up at you. Is that true?
That was a pose, sir. That was not me talking to the dog.
Well, I mean, were you...
In other words, you were posing. I realize you weren't talking to the dog, but were you making like you were talking to the dog?
Yeah, I was making like I was talking to the dog because that's what the lady wanted. She wanted it to look like I was saying to the dog, were you a good dog? And the dog was answering back.
But the dog was looking up at you, right?
Yes, the dog was looking up at me because that's what the dog... When I look down at the dog, And I said, Hottie, I didn't know what else to say, because the picture, Phil, you understand, they're posing the picture. So I looked at the dog, and I said, how you doing? And the dog looked up at me, and naturally the dog's going to look up at me as if it's going to... I don't think I'm talking to the dog, but it's a natural instinct to look at the dog and say to it, how are you? I'm not going to say, you know, what do you want for Christmas or anything like that.
Because the dog can't speak English.
I understand that, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, but you did just now admit that you said to the dog, how you doing, you know?
It's an instinct to say that.
Can I jump in here? Professor Clayton, this is Margaret Gray. I'm with the Dicklin Syndicate. I write a daily column, and I'm very fascinated with the story. How are you?
I'm very fine, thank you. I'm familiar with your column.
Well, I hope you've got good things to say about it.
There are some things that I take issue with, but none. More or less, I think it's good.
Well, Ms. Gray, this is Dave Oliver. I've also read your column, too.
That's great, Dave. Hold on for a minute, Dave. What is the problem you have with my column?
I think there's some things I've seen in your column that I think I take great issue with. I think you've got a very broad political perspective.
All right, can we not talk about the column right now?
I apologize, yes. When you're talking to the dog, and I'm not saying you're not asking the dog what it wants for Christmas, correct?
No, I'm not asking the dog what it wants for Christmas, no. I'm not asking the dog anything. When the lady wanted me to poke, I looked at the dog and I said, how do you do? And as if to say to the dog, you know, she's taking our pictures, so I guess we got to make this look real, and the dog's looking up at me.
Did you imagine the dog was responding something?
Did I imagine? See, here we go now. The lady wants... Man, it's a good thing I'm familiar with the press, because now she wants to paint me out to be some kind of a Looney Tunes. Isn't that correct?
If I could jump in...
No, hold on. Isn't that correct?
No, I don't want to paint you out to be a Looney Tunes, but I am asking you... Was the dog answering?
The dog was looking at me as if to say, I'm fine, how it... Dogs don't speak English, but if I said to the dog, how you doing, this is a nice photo opportunity, the dog looks up, and dogs will look at you, and they acknowledge what you're saying. They'll look at you and say, in their own way, in that very silent way, to say, I'm fine, how are you, and let's just make this look good, because this particular dog, and I should say, Phil, this particular dog was very anxious to get off my lap. I didn't like the animal, and I didn't like each other from the start. I think it's because when I gave it a dog biscuit, I didn't have any of the big biscuit. I didn't have any of the big booby. Excuse me, I'm a little bit nervous.
Yeah, everybody, slow down here. We're going a little fast.
Thank you. I didn't have any of the big. I didn't have any of the big. Biscuits.
Well, I told you to get the Professor Clayton. I said you should get Milkbone.
You didn't tell me anything, son, when you were at the mall. You told me later to get Milkbone. That's when we were here on the radio during the break.
Yes, sir, but I was just saying, you know, in the future, if you do a Santa Claus for a dog, you should get a Milkbone, that's all.
That's great. I'll take that under advisement. We didn't have the big biscuit, so I gave the dog a small biscuit, and the dog turned its nose up at it and gave me a look like... And I took offense at it. The look the dog gave me was like I was some kind of a cheap bum. And that's the only way I can put it.
But, see, that's my point. Did you really think the dog thought you were a cheap bum?
Did I really think the dog... You know the dogs...
You know, hello, Professor. This is General Clayton. I want to just say this to Margaret.
Yes, go ahead.
Dogs can communicate their disappointment with you, and they can communicate... The fact that they are not the most, they're not the happiest.
That is accurate, and that's what I was getting from this dog.
So you were getting from the dog that you're a cheap bum because you didn't have a Milkbone.
Well, you can, I can tell the lady, she's going to, when you go to the commercial break, she's going to laugh so hard she stains something. You know,
I resent that. That is very offensive.
All right, let's be cool, okay? Let's everybody...
Look, Mr. Henry, I know I'm black, but you don't have to give me the big cool-out speech, all right? Okay, Mr. Henry, because...
I'm not saying that because you're an African-American, Professor Clayton. I'm saying let's everyone just calm down so that we can continue along in a very friendly way. Now, the dog that you were not talking to, the dog that you had the... you didn't have a discussion with a dog. I understand that.
This is what I'm talking about, Mr. Henry. You know, when you go to a dog, if you go to the dog Santa Claus clinic... And you see, you know, what's going... I mean, I'm telling you right now, you know, this is what I'm talking about. You go into the dog Santa Claus, and people are going to go, hey, yeah, I'm going to go talk to a dog. And then you see Professor Clayton, He's giving this dog the biscuit. You know, no wonder the dog gave him a hard time, you know.
No, see, here we go again. You think the dog's talking, too.
I didn't say the dog's talking. I just said the dog gave him a hard time.
I didn't like the dog. It didn't like me. The dog expected a full milk bone. Well, I ain't got any full milk bones. So you're going to have to settle for this kibble that I got. And the dog gives me a hard time. So basically, what I was really saying to it was, let's make this look good and then get the hell, I want you the hell out of here. And the dog looked at me like, and basically communicated to me, that's fine by me. So you have to understand that I had to hide all of this from the owner because the owner's down there with her camera and she's got this, she's feeling very, you know, she's enjoying it and she's looking at the situation and having a good time and, oh, she's smiling. I don't want her to feel bad, but, you know.
Okay, so what I'm getting here is that...
See what I mean, Mr. Henry?
Well, look, Dave, you're the same way because you are looking at this interaction between Professor Clayton and the dog, and you're buying into it.
Only because he didn't have the milk bone. That's all I try to say.
What's milk bone got to do with a man? Look, if you think... Henry thinks we're both nuts. Henry thinks we're both nuts. Isn't that right, Henry?
My name's Phil.
I thought it was Henry. It's not Henry?
My name is Phil Hendry.
Oh, your last name's Henry. Okay.
No, Hendry.
Hendry, I'm sorry. Mr. Hendry here, Dave, thinks we're both nuts. And that's because he thinks I'm talking to a dog. I'm not talking to a dog. I am making my feelings known to the dog. I didn't want to communicate with this thing. All right? It was one of those mini pins. I hate those dogs. I hate. And I mean, I hate mini pins. And...
Well, my sister has a mini pin, and she really likes it.
Oh, did your sister have a mini...
I'm sorry.
Okay, I think we're getting a little out of sorts, so let's take a break right now.
Was he mocking me?
I think so, yeah. I think so.
Boy, that's pretty...
Man, what's getting him? You think he's nuts? I think they're both a little cuckoo if they're both talking about this dog, and the dog was giving the professor a look like, hey, the sooner I'm off your lap, the better, and the professor's looking at the dog and thinking, yeah, well, you know, that's fine by me.
Well, actually, it was the other way around.
Well, whatever. I mean, you know. And then there's Dave saying, well, it all would have been cool had you had milk bone.
I don't even know if milk bone is really the dog treat of choice anymore, do you?
No, I do not. The pet Santa Claus. You know, you look online, there are a million and one stories about pet Santa Clauses and where they're appearing and where they're at. And people do this. This is a very popular thing. So there's nothing weird about it. And I think this guy, Oliva, has got everybody nervous thinking that, well, because I'm having a pet... Because I'm a Santa Claus and I'm having some kind of a pet event for the, you know, for the pets, that I must be cuckoo and, you know, I better check myself in after the... I will be right back. Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Roger Waters of Pink Floyd, and Margaret, you have a lot of information on this. Roger Waters of Pink Floyd over the weekend made some statements about Israel, or about Palestine, right?
Yes, Roger Waters is one of our great artists, and he does have a conscience, and he made some rather extreme comments, but I think that they were taken out of context, and I would like to speak to those after the top of the hour, possibly with Jeff Dowder.
Okay, can we not do that?
Phil, I'm making a point. Roger Waters...
Well, she's doing the... Oh, you're doing Lazy Jaw.
That's right. Roger Waters, one of our great artists.
Okay, so anyway, Jeff Dowder will be with us. Jeff is a drummer for the band Dark Horse, which is appearing right now and does appear at Mr. Foo's in... or Mr. Pooh's, rather... in Manhattan Beach. On the line for our last few minutes here, the last few minutes of the segment, is Emery Clayton along with Jeff Dowder. Professor Clayton, as a Santa Claus for dog, is that what you're called?
No, we're not. Look, Phil, there's been an awful lot of misinformation in this segment. I'm not called a Santa Claus for dogs. I'm Santa Claus. And you bring a dog, and I'm not even Santa Claus. I am a professor of urban studies at L.A. Canyon College, and on the weekends when I'm not at the school, when I'm with my wife and we're with our dogs, then I'm a dog owner and a dog lover, and we partake in the kennel club activities, one of which is I put on a Santa Claus outfit and I go over here to the Westburger Mall and people line up with their dogs. They sit in my lap. I listen to what the dog's got to... I'm not listening to what the dog has to say.
You're right there, Mr. Henry. That's the red flag for me. When the guy is all, yes, what's up, you know?
Let me tell you something, David. I can't believe you're a student at our school. I don't sit there and go, yeah, what's up? The dog sits there, looks up at me.
Yeah, and you just said you look down at it like, let's get this over with, right?
I said that to that one dog because it's obvious the dog... This is great, you know.
Well, all right, can I mention something?
I've got a couple of questions here. You don't talk to the dogs, and yet the one dog...
Yeah, you said the dog didn't like you, offered it a milk bone, and turned up its nose at it and everything.
I can't talk to five different people at once, especially when one sounds like he comes from the planet Venus. I can't talk to five different people at once, especially when one sounds like it comes from the planet Venus. I say again,
I understand, okay? Who comes from Venus, bud?
Yeah, probably me.
Right there, that voice, that frog voice. Is that Dickman?
Yeah, it's me. And you can't answer a question.
What question? Go ahead, ask me the question.
The question is... I forgot.
I got the question for you. You said that the dog, you know, man...
You know what? I'm going to find out who your professor is, a law enforcement. I'm going to ask that professor, is this your assignment, to go to a mall and watch me look down at a dog and try to get through a photo session with a dog that basically thinks I'm a cheap creep because I offered it a kibble instead of a...
You're not communicating with the dogs, correct?
I'm communicating with the dogs to the extent that the dog and I understand what's at stake. And
what do you mean, what's at stake?
Not what's at stake. The dog and I...
This is, to me, if I could, Professor...
Am I going to be allowed to finish a point?
No, but I want to speak on your behalf here. To me, this sounds like just a problem you had with one dog. Is that right?
No, that's not right, Mr. Henry, because I saw him have a hassle with a cat.
With any cat? What cat? We don't have cats. This is for the dogs.
Well, what was that? Oh, it wasn't a cat. It was a dog. It was a small dog. I'm sorry, it was a chihuahua. Okay.
A cat? You thought a chihuahua was a cat?
Woo!
Man.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm trying to figure out what's going on here. You know, I'm like Mr. Henry and everybody else. I come in, you got a Santa suit on.
Okay, I got to tell you, this has been very interesting. I don't know that there's any real solution. I think it's fantastic that dogs can go and see Santa Claus.
Well, the dogs can't go see. So you got to take your dog to see me, and I'm not Santa Claus. I have a beard on and a hat, and the dog sits there, and we get the picture taken. In one instance, and one instance only, a dog got up into my lap. I offered it a little kibble treat because I didn't have no more milk bone, and the dog looked at me like, I don't know. Maybe I'm reading something into it.
But the dog didn't say anything.
No, it didn't say anything. The dogs don't... No, I was not hearing anything.
Right, so you were not hearing any voices?
Now, let me tell you, Dave, the only one there in the mall that might have been hearing voices that day was you, all right?
I didn't hear no voices except I had a Bluetooth, but you're not talking about that, right?
No, I'm not talking about you wearing a Bluetooth. I'm talking about you. Never mind, man. Forget it. This is pointless, you know. It's just point. Every year I do this, and every year somebody's calling me from the press or someone's calling me from a magazine or a newspaper, and every year the same old thing, they're sitting there saying to me, hey, you know what? We heard you dressed up in a beard and a hat, and you were talking to cats and dogs and what are you, Francis of Assisi or something, man? You know, and that guy one year, some guy pulled a stuffed deer on roller skates right past the stand I was on.
They was doing what?
What was this?
There was a guy who was mocking me, and he had a stuffed deer on roller skates. You didn't hear about that?
No, sir.
He took a deer that had been stuffed by a taxidermist. He put it on four skateboards and rolled it by on a leash. And, well, you know, deer season's open, deer season like that, you know. And that's when you should have been there.
See, a guy like that, I wouldn't like to have spoken to him to do my paper on that.
Is that the kind of nut you're talking about?
Yes, sir.
All right, well, now that I get. But hassling Professor Clayton here, even though he, you know, to me it sounds like you just sort of communicate with the dog in a very silent way.
That's all I'm doing. I'm just looking at the dog and I'm saying, let's get through this. You don't like me. I don't like you.
I want to be clear here.
Phil, I'm entitled. I'm sorry, Phil. Professor Clayton, this is General Shaw. I recall when we were interrogating prisoners, I would simply sit them down and say, now, we can go two ways with this. You can tell me what you know, or I will, obviously, do what I can to beat it out of you. Was it like that?
Was it like what?
Was it like me interrogating a prisoner during wartime and saying, now I know there's a Geneva Convention, and so you can tell me your name, rank, and serial number, or I can kick the hell out of you.
You tell me I'm talking, the dog's talking to me like that?
Well, either way.
Either way, no. I never would say that to a dog. I don't know what the dog's thinking.
So the dog may be thinking I'd like to beat this bearded creep.
I don't know. And I know that sounds weird.
Yeah, it does. It does.
See, we thought for a minute there, you know, maybe you was okay, but...
All right, Professor Clayton, good luck, and we'll talk to you at a future date with all the things you're involved in.
Okay, you're leaving everybody with the... You're leaving everyone with the impression that I'm...
All right, we'll talk to the professor here. Get him on the line there in the break, and I'll talk to him. All right, it's the Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. So coming up, we got the Roger Waters thing. Margaret is going to be addressing herself to that there topic when we come back after the top of the hour. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com, where you can get four Christmastime gifts for the Phil fan in your family. That's philhendryshow.com. Go to our online store, get a gift subscription, get a number of items in our online store, and enjoy it. From all of us to all of you at philhendryshow.com, and of course, the Phil Hendry Show. And, oh, yeah, the two tiers of the gift subscription and...
You're slurring your words, Phil.
Having eggnog. World-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com and online at philhendryshow.com, our online store where you can pick up whatever you'd like for Christmas for the Phil fan in your life. As a matter of fact, you could probably pick up something for our number one fan, John J. Fallows, John Jason Fallows of Auburn, Washington, who calls this show every single solitary night, come rain, come shine, and he believes, by the way, folks, that because he has a Twitter account, somehow you can't subpoena records, that you can't find out using the cyber departments of any police department who owns what, Gmail or email address. I mean, let me tell you something. As I said during the break, and I'll say it on the air, when I want to find out who somebody is, and when I want to find out where somebody lives, and when I want to find out what they're... I find out. This guy has been a stalker of ours for months, and I finally said, you know what? I'm going to find out who this guy is. All it took was money. Just a word to the wise. All it takes is money. All you got to do is spread some dollars around. You can find out whoever anybody is. And that's what we did. And now it looks like we're going to have somebody thrown in jail. Okay? So LDS Church, strike somebody off your missionary rolls there, man. That's all I can tell you. 855-500-7445. What, Margaret?
I don't think you should be talking about this because I...
No. Why not? Why not?
Well, I think that, it's necessary if it's what the offending individual wants. Maybe there's some sadomasochism going on.
Could be.
Yeah, I think that's probably it. And the guy wants to maybe not... If you think the guy wants to be in a jail cell with some other men...
Maybe either a jail cell or a hot tub. So anyway, Margaret, you have Roger Waters on the brain.
I don't have Roger... What does that mean, Roger Waters on the brain?
Well, the Roger Waters case that surfaced here over the weekend, Roger Waters was quoted as saying, and it's a pretty brutal thing, he was quoted as saying that Israel was like the Nazis or something, the way that they treated the Palestinians.
Look, Roger Waters is well known to be very politically involved and to be very politically adept and astute at a variety of things having to do with current events. He was, as you know, for many, many years, the real genius behind Pink Floyd. Now, I have to tell you, Phil, I love Pink Floyd. I love David Gilmour. But you cannot deny that Roger Waters was the motivating genius of this band for a great many years.
Roger Waters was the motivating genius of this band for a great many years. All right, that may well be. Although I have to tell you, Pink Floyd as they are now, Pink Floyd as they were in the 80s when Waters left, Pink Floyd as they were before Waters left, to me, the band remains a great band. I don't see...
You don't see the loss of... When Roger Waters left the band, you didn't see the loss of the genius, the motivating genius.
No, I did not. I didn't see it at all.
Well, I don't know anything about this music, but I can tell you... I don't know anything about rock and roll, but I can tell you what you just said there sounds real dumbass just based on the things that I know.
Yeah, because everybody knows about Roger Waters.
Wait, hold on. General, how do you know?
Because how do I know? Let me tell you, I've had a great experience in a lot of different arenas of life, and certainly on deployment, when there hasn't been anything else to listen to, sometimes I listen to Roger Waters. Well, I just, my voice.
Yeah, go, more water? What is it with this voice of yours? I think you need to go see an ear, nose, and throat guy.
Yeah, there you go again. We don't know what that is.
Yeah.
I know what an ear, nose, and throat guy is. Get me some, don't get me water, get me lemonade.
All right.
An ear, nose, and throat guy is a guy that is a doctor for the ear, for what?
What?
What does an ear, nose, and throat guy do?
I don't know.
It's a doctor. Of what?
Oh, it's a doctor of the throat and the nose and the ear. One ear?
Yeah, that's right. One ear. Wow.
Bud, you got to be putting me on.
Well, Phil said ear, nose, and throat.
Both ears. One ear.
Why don't they pluralize it?
Okay, ears, nose, and throat. Is that better?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is, you know?
Phil, yes, this is good water. Thank you very much. This is tap water. It's very good. Ventura County water, huh?
You got that out of the tap? Okay. We've got bottled water.
Oh, maybe that's what this is.
Did you get it out of the tap or get it out of a bottle?
Well, I got it out of a bottle, but Bud said he'd filled the bottle with tap water.
Okay, so is that tap water in that bottle?
Yeah.
Well, then what's the point of us buying Arrowhead water and then you pour it out and put tap water in there?
I didn't pour it out. I drank it first, then I put tap water in.
And then resealed the bottle.
Oh,
man.
But no one wants your backwash. No one wants your back... This is how I emphasize things with him. No one wants your backwash.
Man, that's kooky.
Yeah, that's real weird.
That's how you emphasize things... Excuse me, that's how you...
That's how you emphasize things with an idiot like Bud.
Yes.
All right. So Roger Waters.
Roger Waters, as I said, was one of the reigning geniuses of rock and roll. Us, and them. You know the songs. Nuff Said. Wish You Were Here. Nuff Said. Have a Cigar. Nuff Said.
Yeah, okay, Nuff Said.
Right. Now, Roger Waters, very politically motivated, he used the term the Nazis. He used the Nazi comparison because I believe he wanted to... He wanted to make it... No, hold on, Phil. He wanted people to think not of the Israelis as Nazis so much as he wanted people to think of the Palestinians as Jews. You see?
Right. Well, you know, there is the argument the Semitic people is not just Jewish people. Semitic people are Mediterranean, correct?
Yes. Very good point, Phil.
All right. So if one is anti-Semitic, sometimes it can be argued, what are you saying? You're saying that they're anti-Arab and Jewish. They're anti-Middle Eastern?
Well, now hold on, because Semitic technically means, it means the Semites. I don't know what it means.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, why did...
Just never mind. So the Palestinians, I don't understand what any of this means, but why don't we get on the line here? Don Berman from Channel 19 News is going to talk a little bit more to this because it was a big news story over the weekend. Don, how you doing?
Hey, Phil, how are you? Don Berman here, Channel 19 News.
All right, we got Margaret on the line here. The Roger Waters story.
Roger Waters is the scum of the earth, if you want my honest opinion, Phil, and...
Now, wait just a minute, Don.
Hold on. We're having a back and forth here, if you don't mind.
Go ahead, but let Don speak.
You're talking about one of the reigning geniuses.
I know of rock and roll, and that and a quarter is going to get me whatever a quarter buys. I can't even tell you what a jawbreaker. It'll get that, will get me a jawbreaker. Roger Waters being a reigning genius of rock and roll. Roger Waters is the lowest, crawlingest thing. Roger Waters reminds me of this new Disney movie with that dinosaur and those crawling things have you seen this, Phil?
What is it?
It's The Walking with Dinosaurs.
Yeah, I've seen it. It looks pretty interesting.
Well, it is sort of interesting, Phil, and or Bud, or whoever that was. Is that you, Phil?
No, that's Bud. You thought that was me?
Well, I heard someone go, yeah. I thought it was you.
It's me, Mr. Berman.
Yeah, hi, Phil.
This is Phil, right here.
All right, I'm sorry, Phil. You're not on television.
Yeah, we are. If you get me make with a Backstage Pass subscription, I'm on TV right now.
Oh, yes, I forgot about that. You need your $9.99 a month.
Yeah, pardon me for making a living, okay?
Well...
You pardon me for making a living.
Why don't you just get advertising like everybody else?
Hey, why don't I just go directly to my customer and not bother them with advertising? How about that? And that way it's me and them and me, and, you know, we're all going to heaven in a pea-green boat. Now, Roger Waters.
No, a pea-green boat.
Just talk about Roger Waters, will you, Berman? Quit stalling.
I'm not stalling about anything, I told you. Roger Waters is a low-crawling thing from the primordial ooze who just so happens to play guitar, or actually bass guitar. Doesn't even play guitar. He plays bass guitar. And yes, he wrote a few songs. I personally, I like that song, Bonnie. And Margaret, you said that you would sing that later on. If I came on and I did this debate.
You trying to tell me you come on a program just on account of you hear her sing?
That's exactly what I said, Phil. And
what is it with you calling him Phil?
I'm sorry, I thought that was you. Are you the host of the show?
Yes.
Then why do I keep hearing Dickman?
Because he's had... Bud, why don't you shut up? You're confusing people.
No, I can't.
Yeah, see, I'm hearing that guy's voice so much, he might as well be the host of the show. Roger Waters, what he said about the Israelis, what he said about the Jewish people of Israel... Considering the history of those people and where they came from, that was absolutely uncalled for. And I don't think if you were a person of conscience, which more and more the liberals in this society, especially the rock and roll fans, the white young male rock and roll fans of this country, are all right-wing fascists. And so Roger Waters, in his old age, is now giving in to the impulse that many old British men have, and that is to become... a fascist. And
that, you know, that is so wrong. Roger Waters has done so much for so many people in so many different ways. That just, I can't begin to tell you the wonderful things he's done. The people that he's helped, the institutions that he's been a benefactor for, the money that he's raised, you know, you're not going to believe this, Don, and I don't have any firsthand experience. Roger Waters, I talked to two separate individuals. They claim to have seen him, Phil, heal people with his hands.
Oh, baby.
Are you going to let me finish?
Baby.
Are you going to let me finish?
Now, Margaret.
No, hold on. I'm saying they saw him lay his hands on a woman's breasts. And she was cured, well...
Of what?
Of a headache.
Are you putting me on? The guy got a cheap, creep feel. He got a feel-up so he could cure her headache.
That is uncalled for.
Margaret, are you nuts or something? I saw him lay his hands...
I didn't. These people I talked to...
Saw him lay his hands on a woman's breasts to cure her of a headache.
I'm not going to sit here and listen to that.
Well, you want to get the cigars?
I'm not getting any cigars. I'm going to go smoke one.
Oh.
Well, let me guess. She walked out of the room.
Yes.
Oh, man. Oh, baby. I thought I was going to lose control of every single faculty, including the lower colon. It was already a foregone conclusion I'd become incontinent, which means I'd wet myself. But I thought the lower colon...
All right. I get it. I understand. Don Berman is with us here on a world-famous Phil Hendry show. We got to take a break. We are so late, it's beyond belief. Don talking with us about, and Margaret, talking with us about Roger Waters and some comments that he made over the weekend that I thought they were very unfortunate. I didn't like them. I didn't appreciate them. Saying that the Israelis were behaving like Nazis in relation to the Palestinians. Absolutely ignoramus statement, in my opinion, but that's me. World-famous Phil Hendry show, philhendryshow.com, 855-500-7445. And online at philhendryshow.com. Next week we're off, but we will have a variety of video events for you. Don't forget, on the 26th of January, I'll be at the San Francisco Sketch Fest. I'll be on Marin, an episode of Marin next year. And Drunk History coming up. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Online at philhendryshow.com. Get yourself a backstage pass and be a part of the next big thing, man.
How do you know that?
What do you mean, how do I know that? Because what's going on in radio right now? Are you kidding? Don Berman is on the line with us. I was talking about that, Don, right?
Well, you know, I understand that there's a lot of panic out there because the conservative radio thing that's been going on is not what it used to be, and it's fading out.
Maybe that's what's making John nervous, you know? Maybe that's why he's harassing our show every night. The conservative thing that he's been trying to sell the Mormon Church, that he is a conservative. And, John, you know, you do yourself a favor and just tell the truth, okay? You live in a dump in Scottsdale. You don't have any money. You don't buy Google stock. And, you know, you've been blown up in so many different varieties of ways. You've been doxxed. You've been outed. You've been...
All right, so I understand that. I don't know who the guy is. Is that Roger Waters?
No, I'm talking about somebody else. All right.
Yeah, Phil, let's get back on to Roger Waters, if we could. Now, you said to me, Don, that you think Roger, and you said to the audience, that you think Roger Waters is the scum of the earth. Is that what you said?
I absolutely do believe that. I think what Roger Waters said and what Roger Waters is, I think anybody that looks like Roger Waters should really keep his own counsel.
What does that mean?
Well, I shouldn't say, but I think the guy has got a face on him that would stop time. You know that as well as I do, don't you?
And what difference does that make?
I'm just telling you that a guy like that needs all the help he can get.
Well, I can tell you, speaking as a woman, it doesn't make any difference. He's a fascinating artist, and there are a great many women that think he, well, that used to think he was, that now he's... In any event, I think...
But now he's what?
Now he's old.
Oh, so he's old, so that's it. Well, he's still loaded. I know that he's got money. There's no question he has money. All of them have money. But to devote his time, a wealthy man like that, to devote his time to the harassing of the Jewish people, I don't get that at all.
You know, I'm going to tell you this. I don't agree with what he said. I think it was the wrong thing to say. I think it was absolutely the lowest thing he could possibly say. I don't think that that Roger Waters or John Fallows, I don't think either one of these guys is worth a pinch of, you know what. But at least John, Roger plays the bass. John tried to.
Who are you talking about anyway?
I'm talking about Roger Waters. Now, Roger Waters made that statement. We went on Facebook over the weekend and sort of took the pulse of the people. And I'm going to tell you something, man. Everybody there was of a like mind. They felt it was way overboard. They thought it was wrong, but they said the following thing, that it opened up a conversation about how Palestinians are being treated.
That's my point, you see.
Well, I don't care, because opened up a conversation. Didn't you say, Phil, that the conversation was over as soon as he brought up Nazis?
Well, yeah. I mean that's the, what is it, Godwin's Law or something? Once you bring up Nazis, the conversation's over. Once you begin to compare anything to the Nazis, you've pretty much lost the debate, because you've gone to the most obvious, heavy-handed, and cliché-ridden comparison there is.
Well, I think that that was... Now, again, it does not negate the fact that it's a great band. What it does negate, though, is Roger Waters and whether or not he ever really was of importance in that band. I like the group. And you did promise Margaret to sing Money. We were going to actually have Margaret over here at a birthday party for L. Ron Martin, and you were going to sing Money for us.
I don't know that I can sing Money at any birthday party for L. Ron Martin or anyone else, as long as you have that attitude about Roger Waters being the scum of the earth.
Well, you're going to have to say that one again to me, I'm sorry.
I said I don't know that I can go to the television station where you worked on and sing Money for L. Ron Martin, the station manager, for his birthday, if you feel that Roger Waters is the scum of the earth.
She's holding you hostage.
So that's the game you want to play. In other words, I have to either agree with you philosophically or politically.
No, you don't have to do anything, but why should I go over to your television station and sing this song?
Well, Margaret, you know, I'm asking you to sing the song as a favor. It's not like you sing it all that great, okay?
Oh, is that right?
Well, I'm sorry. I had, you know, if you're going to hold back based upon our difference of opinion.
So when I don't sing that well, so what? You know something, Don? Not for nothing, but if you were standing in front of me, I'd drive my high heel right underneath.
Kick you in the testicles.
Shut up, okay?
Oh, so that's it, huh? You're telling me that if I give you an opinion, an honest opinion...
Don, you want me to come over there and sing this song for this man, L. Ron Martin, even though you feel the way you do about the man that composed that song. And then you say, well, you don't sing it all that well anyway. He's been all over me like a biker, like I'm being passed around a campfire.
You know what, Margaret? No, don't flatter yourself. You know?
All right, that's it. I'm not singing any song. As a matter of fact, I will sing a song for L. Ron Martin, but I think I'll let him know a little something.
That's it. She can't think of a thing to say. You're all out of material. Goodbye.
No, I...
All right, do you want to...
I'll sing the song.
You'll sing the song?
Yes.
Let me get L. Ron Martin over here. I'm downstairs, so I got to get back up into the newsroom here. And, Jerry, would you go ahead and go get Ron? Go get Ron, yeah. I'm coming to down. Hello, everybody. This is Don Berman. Hold on, Margaret. Turn on the Phil Henry Show. Yeah, and where's... Hey, Ron, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good.
All right. Margaret, are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
And one. Well, you know how to count it down.
Hello, L. Ron, and everyone there at the Channel 19 newsroom. This is Margaret Gray, and I'm going to sing Money. 2, 3, Money! I forget the words. Thank you.
Nothing. Margaret,
No, I forgot the words. I'm sorry. You want to make me look like an ass? Two can play at this game.
I swear to God.
All right. Thank you very much, Don.
No. I got to talk to her.
I got to take a break.
You know what?
Well?
Yeah. You want to go? Let's go, okay? You want to go? Oh, I love this. Sally, go round the roses.
All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
You want to go? We'll go.
Hey, Ron. Ron.
The world famous Phil Henry Show. I'm Margaret Gray. Jackass. What is that, my friend?
That's a buck cherry and crazy bitch.
Woo!
All right. Anyway, we better pot out of that butt because I don't know if there's 4-letter words in it.
And it's a great song.
Turn it down. It's like that's why we don't open up with any hip hop, you know, because.
Yeah, a lot of hip hop are gonna have a 4-letter word in it.
Well, I don't think you should worry about that kind of music. You know, you were saying that. What do you want, Margaret?
Hold on.
Oh.
I'm sorry, Phil, but I had the garden burger.
What has that got to do with you belching on the air?
The garden burger has a great. It's got potato and bean. It has beef bean.
Yeah, that causes. What is that?
You don't know what beef bean is?
Well, what is beef bean?
Beef and bean. Woo!
Hey, look, you know, Margaret, this is a language nobody around here speaks but you. Garden burger, beef bean, potato, causes gas. You gotta belch, otherwise you'll shred your esophagus. I mean, you got us all hostage to your homeopathic health thing, you know.
What do you mean, my homeopathic health thing? I like being healthy as a woman, and I think this is true of all women. If it wasn't for us, if it wasn't for the women of America, our men, all of our family members would be fat slobs. Not so much walking as just oozing down a road. You've ever seen a slinky, you know what I mean. Most people in this country would be just one layer of fat blobbing down the street after another if it wasn't for the women of this country.
Yeah, if it wasn't for the women of this country, there wouldn't be no blob going down the street in the first place.
What?
I said, if it wasn't for the women of this country, no blob go down the street.
Will you speak English? No blob go down the street.
I mean, there wouldn't be no fat slob.
You're saying there wouldn't be no fat slob in the first place.
That's what I thought you said, and I think you are dead wrong, bud. D-E-A-D... dead, Red.
All right. Roger Waters. I'm still laughing about all of that. I'm still laughing about you, you screwing Dawn out of that song.
But don't say you screwing Phil and then Dawn, because someone's going to take that piece of audio and cut it, and it'll be you saying you screwing Dawn, and they'll be using it on morning shows.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. World famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445, and online at philhenryshow.com. Next week is God, I'm just, anyway, next week is Christmas. I'm just so pissed off that I got to hang around, I got to do taxes, you know?
Well, why are you doing taxes now?
That's just the way that they like it, so I got to do it. And I was not, this isn't something I used to do, but I took it over because of quite, you know what I am? I'm one of these guys, I don't like to have, you ever hear those commercials that Larry Miller did for the Sit and Sleep where the guy would say, "You're killing me, Larry"?
Yeah, it's the guy, Irwin, his accountant or something.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, that's the kind of an accountant I've got. You know, "You're killing me, you're spending too much money." There's a certain way that I like to do business, and I like to invest in the company that we have and the business that we have, so I do. I put a lot of money into it. And
you stay first class whenever you travel?
And I stay first class.
She said, ow.
Be quiet. That's my business. Let me tell you something. I own the company. You know, I pay my people well. Everybody gets fat when times are good.
And when times suck?
Everyone stays fat. And we just run out of money. No, I'm kidding. I got to do that. But next week is, as I say, Christmas. And online at Phil Henry Show right now, we have for you in our online store CDs. We have our collectibles, which are our shot glasses and, of course, the mugs and the Bobby Doody keychain. We have our clothing, which is our hats and our shirts and the Ted Bell shirt, which, by the way, Jimmy Pardo, the very great Jimmy Pardo, we have promised a signed Ted Bell shirt. Ted just got around to signing one for you, Jimmy, and it's on its way tomorrow for the very wonderful people at the podcast and the work they're doing on behalf of Smile Train. So yeah, we've got that t-shirt on the way, man. I'm so sorry, dude. It's just 85 million different things. Then the other thing that happened, which I thought was interesting. What are you doing, bud?
Well, that's the thing.
He's pulling on the waist of his pants. Why are you doing that?
Okay, yeah. So I had to get my measurements to the wardrobe people for the show Marin. And, you know, it's always kind of humiliating. Well, it used to be, but it isn't anymore. It used to be like, "What are your measurements, Phil?" 52 waist.
Woo!
Take it easy, man. God.
What is that? You have no business doing that, bud.
Well, that was very exuberant of you, bud, but even I would have, I'd have to reach over and put my hands around your throat and choke almost till your tongue flew out of your head. The way that sounded.
I understand.
All right.
The general, you know, General, you have a very, very good way of communicating with him. So, yeah, I had to, I definitely had to get the measurements over there. And when I got this 52 waist thing, that's what it used to be, you know. And I was just a fat tub of guts. And it never got worse than when I was on that show, New Girl. I can't even look at that show.
You're kidding.
No, I can't look at it. I don't want to see any stills from it. I don't want to look at it. It's just the most... It's horrible to look at myself in that show, and they were very nice people to work with, but I was over 300 pounds on that show. No way ain't gonna happen. So there you have it. We're gonna get into a discussion here of Duck Dynasty in a moment. It's a really, really interesting television show that Steve Bozell is gonna join us and talk about. Steve's on the line with us. Steve, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Phil. I'm actually outside right now and just cleaning up some mixers. We've got a lot of equipment here at my house right now. We had a pretty big job, and I'm talking too much. I apologize.
No, it's okay.
I just want to explain why you're hearing and explain its noises. You guys clean off the trowels, and you can go ahead and go home now. Yeah, my daughter's inside. Jeremy, my daughter's inside. She's not going to look at you. Now, get it? I got a young guy who's on my finishing crew. He wants to meet my daughter. And I said, "She's 14 years old. You got to clean your act up and clean it up good. Clean your act up, Jeremy, the way you clean that trowel off, and you'll be good to go." Yeah. So it's been a very busy day.
A very busy day?
Very busy day, yes, sir.
Steve, I wanted to talk to you about this Duck Dynasty.
Can I say one thing, Phil? When you talked about having a 52 waist and going in all, could I ask you one thing?
About the show?
When you were on a TV show and they do the clothes for you?
Yeah, the wardrobe. They always want to get your measurements.
And so they're asking you about your waist size and what else. Do you mind if I just ask you some questions about that? I just think it's very interesting.
Go ahead.
I mean, if you don't, you know, if they put you in a pair of 52-inch pants, there's no hiding, is there? There's no way you get away with it. You're just going to look fat and as fat can be.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. It's you're in a wardrobe. You're dressed in a suit. I think I was for that show. And oh yeah, fat as hell.
Yeah, and you look like a tub of guts.
I can tell you this. There's a picture of me on our homepage at philhenryshow.com. If you want to scroll back through. Maybe I was put up last month sometime, I think. But it's right there on the homepage. If you scroll back through the different posts going back in time to maybe November, I could find it. I think I have the still, and we'll try and find it. It's just bad, man. So when I started losing weight back in the spring of 2012 and really got on a roll.
Got on a roll. Woo-hoo.
Would you not do that, bud? That is irritating.
Don't do that, bud.
What?
Ooh.
Okay?
Well, you said got on a roll.
So he said got on a roll. What does that mean?
I think about Bud's saying if you're a fat man, it's natural to think of the guy rolling.
Well, that's a good point.
No, it's not a good point.
It's not a good point?
No, that's not a good point. No, it's not enough to interrupt the show.
Well.
No. Forget it.
Probably because the fat man he's talking about is you, but you were saying, Phil?
Yeah, so I lost the weight, and when I really realized that I could lose it, you know, when I started counting calories, that's how I did it. I was doing 2,000 calories a day, and I didn't know if it would work because I had tried everything. I exercised like a son of a gun, but I wasn't losing any weight. I was out at least 30 minutes a day trying to do a little bit of running. Don't ever run when you're 300 pounds, not because you can't. You can run. I did. Here's the problem. That weight that you are pounding on your feet and on your shins and on your knees and on your back is brutal. And where I felt it more than anything else was in my feet and my ankles and my legs. So you're running and you may only be just jogging a little bit, you know.
But the weight is it's like dropping an anvil on your joints, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's not that bad.
Well, I mean, come on, Mr. Andrew, you open that door. I mean, we might as well just let the cattle run on through now, you know.
All right, so yes, it was. It was that bad and painful. So it wasn't that I wasn't able to run, and I did try to run. You can run. Sure, you get winded. But what really, where the real problem is that it just pounds the hell out of your joints. And speaking of that, I know that, General, you want to talk about Nova Joint here in a few minutes, right?
No, I'll tell you, that Nova Joint worked. This is what I... Do you still get the joint pain?
Not anymore, but I can tell you I'll be hitting you up if I do. We're going to take a break, and then we'll get back here with Steve Bozell. We'll be talking about Duck Dynasty, one of the stars of the show. Now, this is a show of featuring a bunch of rednecks. One of these guys equated homosexuality with bestiality. Now, what that does is two things. Just if you read Facebook, if anybody's on Facebook, you know that when a guy says something like that and he's on a TV show, two things happen. A, he's going to get a whole lot of people defending him and backing him up. That's number one. And number two, you're going to have a whole bunch of people saying, what do you expect when you put a bunch of dumbass rednecks on TV? So the clash of cultures continues.
Yes, it does, and I am decidedly in the latter camp. General?
Well, I resent when you say that's what happens when you get a bunch of dumbasses on Facebook.
No, when you get a bunch of tell you what we'll do. We'll take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll put it into a plainer English for all of you. The world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com and online at philhenryshow.com, of course, are... online store. Be right back with more with Steve Bozell and Duck Dynasty.
Duck Dynasty.
Merry Christmas. It's world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Steve Bozell with us from Corona, California, as we discuss Duck Dynasty. And there's a television show that has been very, very prominent and popular. It seems like the redneck shows, there's at least one a season. And, of course, we had, whatever happened to that honey, what the hell was the name of that show?
That's called Baby Boo Boo.
Don't yell it, bud.
God almighty, bud.
That's called Baby Boo Boo.
Yeah! Shut up, man.
Yeah, that was called Baby Boo Boo.
No, but it was Honey Boo Boo, right?
Right, yeah, Honey Boo Boo.
Yeah. What about it?
Well, you asked me what was that show, and,
Is that still on the air?
I have no idea. I wouldn't know. I stay as far away from it as I can because understand, Mr. Henry, that I was, I brought my family, my wife and I and the kids moved out here from, and Steve Jr. and April Jr. were babies when April and I moved out here from Knoxville, Tennessee, and this was in 1996, and relocated out here to the Inland Empire, and I tried to leave that far behind, I'm trying to leave it far behind, and I don't want to know of it, and I don't want to hear of it, to try to cleanse myself and keep it clean, and
all right, I get it. So you didn't want to watch Baby Boo Boo or whatever the hell, Honey Boo Boo?
No, I did not, because that family was like any other, every other family on my street back there, and I see that Honey Boo Boo, and I want to get away from it, get way away, and it's very, very traumatic.
So tell me about Duck Dynasty. Phil Robertson is the guy?
Yes, sir. Phil Robertson, who's one of the. He's been suspended from the show. He made some comments in GQ magazine. He's a 67-year-old man. He's the darling of the political right. He equated same-sex relationships with bestiality. He says, it seems to me a vagina as a man would be more desirable than, and then he made some other comments. He says, I'm just thinking there's, and then he went and made some very unfortunate comments.
Well, the man is a pig. I would attribute to this man, Mr. Robertson, the very things that Don Berman attributed to Roger Waters, a pig, the scum of the earth. Look at the man. These are people, they're throwback people. If you want to talk about the indigenous tribes...
Excuse me, ma'am, but I'm the one that's... Mr. Henry said, assured me that I'd be the one to be... He'd be interviewed,
That I'm interviewing, yes, Margaret, if you don't mind. I do want to hear your opinion.
Well, I wish you'd spit it out, then. What do you think of this man?
What do I think of what, man?
What do you think of this guy, Duck Dynasty guy, and the things he said?
Well, you have to understand, my daughter goes to C.K. Corona Middle School, so I've got a lot of people who are on the left, and I live in California, so if you think you're going to hear me say that, Mr. Duck Robertson, Phil Robertson is a guy that I admire, no way. I disagree with what he's got to say, but I have to disagree with it because I want to keep my daughter in a really good school.
Well, that's just it. Now, what do you really think?
Well, I'm not going to say because I want my daughter to...
Well, don't you think the school's listening to you right now and getting the general idea?
No, I'm just trying to tell you that I'm trying to stay above the fray here, and I'm trying to make sure that I'm not going to be in any kind of a problem with the...
Let's just pretend for about 5 seconds here that your daughter doesn't go to a liberal middle school and that the school isn't going to call you in on the carpet. And this guy, I can't believe this school. You get chewed out by like 11-year-olds. That's fantastic. Let's pretend like that's not going to happen. What do you think?
Well, I, in a lot of ways, any man that can use a bow and arrow and a squirrel gun and all that, and you got to admire a guy like that for not come from. It's an admirable thing. You have to understand, I've got relatives. And brother, if they hear that I am not lockstep in line with the Duck Dynasty, they look at me like I'm as queer as a $3 bill. And
see, right there, I knew that was it. So this is the kind of macho, really ignoramus machismo that still exists in that part of the world. What is wrong with that part of the world? That's what I want to know.
There's nothing wrong with that part of the world.
I just want to say, there's rednecks everywhere, okay?
Well, what do you mean?
What do I mean? There's rednecks everywhere. There's hill people everywhere. There's mountain trash everywhere, man, whether it's California. I'm telling you, if there's one thing that we know, if you know anything about America, you got the rural folk, and you've got some people that are really rural, and you've got the city folk. It doesn't make any difference where. The South, the East, the West, the North. The South probably gets it more in terms of the stereotype than any other part of the world, because it was, or any other part of the country, I should say, because it was a very, very poor part of the country for a long time. And that had to do with a lot of factors. And so a poor person from the southeastern part of the United States sort of personified a certain thing for people. But there's people all over this country. Now, according to this article, he's been suspended from the show following these remarks. And I'm not going to quote the remarks, but they are pretty they're pretty stupid. That's all you can say. There's probably a lot of people that think this guy is just all that and a bag of pork rinds. But this cat sounds like he looks just like a dumbass. Now, according to the network, he's been suspended. Here's a statement for. Let me just read you a little bit of what Mr. Robertson said. He explained when asked by GQ's Drew McGarry what exactly he considered sinful. He said, start with homosexual behavior and just morph out from there. Bestiality, sleeping around with this woman and that woman and that woman and those men. A&E Network suspended Robertson from Duck Dynasty after the interview was released. We're extremely disappointed to have read Phil Robertson's comments in GQ, which are based on his own personal beliefs and are not reflected in the series Duck Dynasty. A&E Network said in a statement, his personal views in no way reflect those of A&E Networks, who have always been strong supporters and champions of LGBT community.
Let me just say something, Mr. Henry. I think A&E they got to be dumber than they got to be dumber than a squirrel without a helmet. Because if you look at who these guys are, you just got done saying it. You take a look at these guys. These guys are from the hills. They're mountain trash. Don't you think that these guys are going to say stuff like that? So I think it's unfair, because you know, when you look at a group of hill people like this, these people come right out of the wild. They're coming out of the holler. They've been back down in the holler and in the wild for several hundred, you know, many, many decades. God knows, perhaps over 100 years. They've been cut off from anything that you or I would know is normal. I don't know what kind of family relationships they form. They're tribal. They're all messed up. And now they come out into the free, clean air of the urban landscape. They're hired by a TV network. All they got are a whole bunch of people walking around and look like, you know, I can only imagine what they think. And,
Well, that's a good point. That's a good point.
What's a good point?
It's a good point to say, if you're going to hire guys like this to do a TV show, what do you think they're going to talk about?
Well, they could keep their own count. You know something, Phil? If you know that, I happen to know that these networks don't let these stars open their big bazoos without a representative from the network sitting there. In other words, they have some PR person from the network fielding the questions, but they let this man sit in there. Well...
Yeah, see, that's my point. Yeah, you know, if A&E didn't want this guy to talk all kinds of trash...
Hold on, I gotta take a break here. We're right with we'll conclude here with our good friend Steve Bozell coming up next hour. And in speaking of hill people, here's a song called Canadian Sunset. I don't know.
Well, this is about mountain trash, isn't it?
Not really, no.
I was alone.
Yes, it is. He meets some mountain trash girl while he's skiing, and she's coming out of the holler, and I don't know.
Lonely and then...
yeah, whatever. And it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, here for this Thursday night. Stephen Bozell from Corona, California, joining us. We're talking about this guy, Duck Dynasty guy, this Phil Robertson guy who, I'm getting tired of doing stories about one more dumbass who was given a national platform, and then he sounds like a dumbass, and then everybody is sort of surprised. So, I got to agree with Steve on this one.
Oh, well, that's not what you said last hour.
Phil, I want to just jump in. You didn't say that. You were taking the decidedly liberal stance on that.
Yeah, I noticed that too, Mr. Henry. And
so you noticed what? That I took a decidedly liberal stance, saying that I don't like the guy's comments.
Yes, sir. That's what I heard.
Well, I don't like the guy's comments.
I don't get it then.
What's not to get? You understand, Margaret, right?
Well, I'm thinking about. No, I don't.
Are you kidding? I'm saying that I don't agree with the guy's comments, but that's the guy. And if they are shocked by his comments, meaning A&E or anybody in the media, well, what did you expect? Take a look at the guy. Look where he's from. Look what he is. I hate to stereotype somebody, but it's obvious that they didn't want to, mute this guy's marvelously eccentric personality. I can get that, you know.
And so he goes out there and says the things that he says that comes naturally to a man from the hill, from the deep recesses of the hills that he comes from. And so, but you're saying is that they should have expected it. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. And you agreed with me.
Well, I didn't agree with you. I thought I came up with the idea originally, but...
Well, it doesn't make any difference. I think that a man still needs to be held accountable for the things that he says and for the damage that he do or that he does do. And I think that the comments by this man, whether or not he is, as you call him, Phil, mountain trash or not, I think is a very, 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 very unfortunate series of comments.
All right. Is that Father McQuarters on the line, Father?
Phil, how are you doing? I can barely hear you, Phil.
Father James McQuarters, how are you, sir?
Yes, Phil, doing fine.
Father, we wanted you to weigh in on this. You have done, when you first came to the United States, you did your diocese work?
No, it's called the diocese. The diocese of Los Angeles Diocese, the Roman Catholic faith, right. That I did outreach and mission work among a lot of the hill people. I did it also among the immigrant people, Mexican immigrant people, and for the farm workers, and so forth.
Father, this is Steve Bozell. I'm not a Catholic. I'm a Protestant. I'm an Assemblies of God.
Well, that's all right, Steve. What can I do for you?
But I do respect the Catholic, the Catholic Church. And do you feel that because these people come from mountain time, that there should be forgiven the transgressions and the sins of how they want to do, you know?
Let me say something, if I could. And I don't mean anything by this. I mean this is with love in my heart for all of my fellow men. But a lot of the hill people that you're talking about. And I did minister to a great many of our mountain, as you call them, Phil, the mountain trash. I don't like that term at all. I think it's very demeaning, Phil.
I agree with you, Father.
Well, that's not what you were saying. Oh, man.
It's very demeaning, Phil. And thank you, Margaret.
Wait a second. She was saying that last hour.
Are you saying that last hour?
I don't think you should be acting like a child, Phil. If that's what the kind of thing you want to say, I'm telling you that it's offensive to your fellow man. And I would hope that you treat your fellow man with a little bit of respect.
Phil, that's what I was trying to tell you, you know?
You didn't say anything about me saying mountain trash.
Yeah, I have to go with Margaret on this one. You said mountain trash, but I didn't hear her say no mountain trash.
Well, now, wait a minute, Margaret, you didn't say mountain trash?
I heard her say mountain trash in a commercial break, but not on the air.
I heard her say mountain trash.
Well, I don't think it's going to do you any good to... this is a dog that won't hunt. Okay, this is a dog that won't hunt. The dog's not in this fight. And I think you have to move. I think you have to take your dog and put it in the truck and drive away. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I understand what you're saying. Let me just ask you here. So you did, as you say, missionary work. I mean, these are Americans. It's not missionary work like one would do in a third world country, right?
No. I what we're doing is setting up parishes and setting up places of worship in different rural locales across the United States. And I met a lot of these people. They're good people. They're strong people, and they're people that care. But I will tell you this. I'm a little bit shocked at the man's comments here, this Mr. Robertson saying that he doesn't believe in homosexuality, because a great many of these male members of these mountain clan have their first sexual encounter with either another man or livestock. And it's shocking.
Oh, man, wow, you just blew the lid right off.
It's very shocking.
Livestock?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Oh, my, well, you know something? I read in the book Last Picture Show, it wasn't Last Picture Show, it was The Outsiders, one of those books where they chased a steer around a corral, and that was, well...
Are you kidding me?
No. Woo! No way. No way. A lot of these people, that's the young men in the clans and the different wood, the different deep, the real deep holler people. I'm not talking about people that live near the highway. I don't think anyone that lives near the highway would do that.
That was my experience too, Phil. You know, when I grew up near the highway, I want to make that clear. I didn't grow up in the deep holler, you know.
No, this is not people that are from the highway. This is the deep holler.
People from the highway.
Right, the people that live near the highway.
People that live near the highway generally the ones that operate the gas station. But if you're talking deep holler, well, they're going to be involved in every kind of degrading experience known to mortal man.
All right. So what you're saying here, Father, is that this behavior that this man Robertson is castigating. Behavior, the life, the orientation of gay people. In point of fact, homosexual sex or homoerotic sex, whatever you want to call it, is something that, quote, deep holler people involve themselves in.
Yes, but I'm talking only the deep holler because there's not a great opportunity for any other kind of sex. And so it's not the people near the highway. The people near the highway, no. But
I get it about the people near the highway, okay? I understand that.
Right, because they're having more contact and they're out there in the world. But so I don't think that this man Robertson is being completely honest if he says that he looks down his nose or looks down whatever that is. I guess that's his nose. I'm looking at the picture. Yes, that is his nose. He looks down his nose. You're not going to laugh at that?
It's pretty good, Father.
No, I'm not laughing at it.
Anyway, he looks down his nose at...
What am I supposed to laugh at?
Nothing.
Look, he looks down his nose at gay people, but should be honest enough to say that when the time suited him and the mood suited him, he tapped into that and more. And I think...
All right, enough about Duck Dynasty and Mr. Robertson. I guess he'll be dealt with. He has been suspended from this show. They said that his personal views don't reflect A&E. It also didn't take long for the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation to fire back at the outspoken Hunter. Phil and his family claim to be Christian, but Phil's lies about an entire community fly in the face of what the true Christians believe. GLAD spokesman Wilson Cruz responded. He clearly knows nothing about gay people. The majority of Louisianans and Americans who support legal recognition of loving and committed gay and lesbian couples. So I guess he'll go cool as jets, huh?
Well, and the dishonest thing, the thing that I don't like is he's going to come back very contrite and say that he understands and that gay people are great, because who can turn their nose up at that payday? And the next thing you know, he's going to be converted and he'll be doing gay events and everyone will think he's the second coming of Dr. Laura.
Well, on second thought, maybe. You'll say no one's going to mistake him for Dr. Laura, but you never can tell. I'm Father James McQuarters, and...
Why'd you hang up on him?
I'm not having him doing his shtick, okay? All right, we're going to take a break on the Phil Hendry Show here, 855-500-7445, world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Thank you very much, Father, and we will, continue to watch this story very, very closely. Be right back.
Woo-hoo!
Welcome back, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. PhilHendryShow.com.
We were rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party, huh?
This is David G. Hall, and on behalf of everybody here at the Phil Hendry Show, well, on behalf of myself, I can't really speak for Phil or anybody. I'm just on behalf of myself and Daphne. Daphne? We want to wish you all a very Merry Christmas.
Later we'll have some pumpkin pie.
This is R.C. Collins, and I'm at the...
Bradley Military Academy.
Bradley at the Christmas.
Get out of here, will you? All right, welcome back here on the Phil Hendry Show. And I don't know whether or not you know. Would you turn it down, please?
Pretty good song, though.
Yeah, it's a great song. If you don't know yet, there's been a...
Would you turn that down, bud?
I thought I did.
No, when you turn it down, it's got to go there you go.
You got to be kidding me, Dickman. Are you crazy or something? You don't know how to turn something down?
I went the wrong direction with it.
Yeah, you went there. There you are. That's truer words were never spoken. You sure did go the wrong direction with it.
What's that supposed to mean? I'm gay or something?
No. Ira Curry of Stone Mountain, Georgia, announced as one of two Mega Million winners. This lady and her husband, he is a 74-year-old gentleman, Ms. Curry, who works as an underwriter at an insurance company. And what a beautiful woman she is, too.
I was looking at, isn't she lovely? And her husband is, they're both very, they look well off. And what I'm saying is, this looks like the first time that we've seen one of these Mega Million people that look as if they've actually already got money. You know what I mean?
Let me see. Oh, yes, uh-huh. Very much so.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen pictures of every person that's ever won the Mega Millions, but generally, now, there was another chap.
You said Jap.
No, I didn't. Chap, okay?
What was he a Jap?
Hey, watch it with the Jap thing, okay?
Phil, you said it.
I said Chap, C-H-A-P. And actually, no, he's Vietnamese.
Well.
No, not well anything.
Boy, I'll tell you, Henry, what you get away with on this program,
woo!
I'll tell you what, it boggles the imagination, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Doesn't it leave you when you get off the air? Don't you look in a mirror and thank God you've lived another day? Don't you ever do that, Henry, huh?
No, I don't, General. I don't.
Well, why not?
Why should I?
Well, the things you say and what you do when you're sitting here that no one sees, I'm kidding.
But you're referencing the whole C-H-A-P. That's what I said.
Phil, I heard you and you said chap. I know Phil is not that dumb. Phil's done some dumb things, but...
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ira Curry of Stone Mountain, Georgia. You were saying, though, General.
Yes, well, they look like a couple of prosperous people. So the question is, the Vietnamese gentleman, who's you say is an immigrant Vietnamese gentleman?
Yes. Now, I want to find the man's name. This gentleman got a million. Here he is. His name is Thu Nguyen. He accepted a $1 million check from the California Lottery sales representative Mona Sanders. Here's a picture on Wednesday. Records show that he is the owner of a store. Where is his store? Well, he's a shop owner someplace in California. But the story goes as follows. Ira Curry, 56, of Stone Mountain, Georgia, has come forward as one of the two who struck it rich in the massive Mega Millions jackpot drawing. Curry will take the cash option. And after, I said, what did I say, $135 million?
Yes.
It's $120 million. So it was, I was pretty close. Because what it is if you're taking the cash option, that means right away you're getting, and she's splitting it. It was $640 million, right? So that's $320 million. And then you split the $320 million in half, and that would be $160 million. But obviously the taxes came out to $40 million more. $120 million.
It's amazing, and you wonder if people... I know this will sound very condescending because Frank and I have money, but I wonder if people really know what to do with that kind of money and if people can be trusted with that kind of money.
Well,
Margaret, that's very elitist of you, Margaret.
Very elitist.
No, now hold... Don't you dare try to paint me as some kind of a snoot up the you-know-what of the person in front of me because I want to make sure that I get a table ringside. No. You don't get to do that. Not today, you don't. I am simply saying...
Wait, could you just stop for a minute? Snoot up the you-know-what?
Yeah, I noticed that, too. That was very weird.
What?
Snoot up the what you...
Snoot up the what you...
Snoot up the you-know-what of the person in front of you because you want to get a table ringside.
I don't stutter, yes.
May I ask a question? Hold on. May I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
What does I don't stutter mean? I've been listening to you rednecks and you mental midgets around here using that term.
I am not a mental midget or a redneck.
Well, what does that mean?
I don't know. I've used it my whole life. The first time I heard it was when I was working in construction down in Florida. And,
is it a Southern term?
I don't think so. I think it's just a term that I heard the guys were saying. I'd say, hey, this, that. What'd you say? I said, but I don't stutter. So, whatever that means, you know.
I don't know what it means, but I like the way it sounds, and I like to use it. So that's why, so if someone says that to me, like, what did you say? I'll say, I don't stutter, because I like how it puts people on the defensive.
Very nice.
You're welcome.
All right, so Ira Curry is the lady's name, 56 of Stone Mountain, Georgia. And she won $120 million. This is the cash layout, and that's after taxes. That's a lot of jack. That's a beautiful thing. That was smart, man. She's not taking it. And do you know of anybody that actually, when they win these big jackpots, who takes the monthly?
Well, you talk about the monthly, what do you mean?
Yeah.
See, you can get this paid to you per month, and you actually get more money, I think.
Well, I don't think anyone trusts that the government's even going to have the money to pay you.
That's the truth. That's why people take the cash layout, because no one is going to believe, no one believes, I don't think, that the government will have the money left over.
Wow, that is, what an absolutely telling comment it is on our society and faith in government, that people want to take the whole cash layout right off the bat rather than, you know, the monthly, because they don't think the government's going to be solvent or at least have enough money to pay you. You know.
Well, it's not that weird of a statement.
All right, Bobby Dooley is with us from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Hi, Bobby, how are you?
Oh, hi, Phil. I'm doing good.
You're taking a bath, I understand. We have a lot of people that take baths when they're on our show.
I'm awfully sorry, Phil, but it's been just a horrendous day. And the news that these people won the lottery was, of course, a little bit debilitating.
Why was it debilitating?
Well, it was debilitating. That is a tough word.
Hold on for a minute. We've got a lot of people tonight that can't express. Not that it doesn't happen every night, but we have a lot of people that are not able to pronounce words. And is there something in the air, or what people are drinking, or?
I'll look into it. I'm not sure.
Well, I haven't noticed it.
I have. Every other guest, Bobby. I'm sorry, so you were saying?
I was saying what?
You were saying that it's a little debilitating?
Yeah, it's a little bit debilitating to see individuals winning this amount of money. As Margaret was saying, you're wondering, are they really going to be able to handle it, you know? So that's going to be the subject of our podcast tomorrow, Steve and I, on the Bobby Dooley podcast.
And the Bobby Dooley podcast, which is called Mm-hmm, right?
Yes, that's the name of it.
And so when you address this during the podcast tomorrow, and you're talking about whether or not people are qualified to win that kind of money, what does that mean exactly, qualified?
Well, Phil, I think that when you suddenly have $120 million dropped in your lap, it is incumbent upon you to set an example to others as to how that money should be spent. As to, Steve, honey, could you get me another cup of tea, please?
I'm trying to get it now.
Yeah, get me another cup of tea, the chamomile. I'm so sorry. I'm just soaking. I'm enjoying the soak.
Feels good, doesn't it?
It really does. It really, really does. I'm just laying here. Oh, yeah.
What kind of a day was it for you?
It was a tough day. We had Cocktails and Patio magazine was here. They were doing a photo shoot. I had about three or four different chains of wardrobe. They shot me near the pool. I was in a bathing suit, and then I was in the water throwing a beach ball, and then they had me out on the lawn in the bikini, just sort of with one leg in the air holding a beach ball.
Well, now what was this for?
It was another photo layout for a Cocktails and Patio magazine. So I'm very, very tired.
All right, hold on for a minute, Bobby. We're going to take a break here and be back to Bobby Dooley. She discusses the folks that won the lottery and the amounts of money that, frankly, are being doled out these days. This is $120 million to this lady. It was a $640 million jackpot. She took half, after taxes, $120 million. Phil Hendry Show.
I love this. This is the Band-Aid, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Do, 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 do. They did this song, if I may, Phil.
Yeah, welcome back to the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, they did this song for the Africans that were not eating properly, you know.
Yes, they were starving to death. That's what you mean by not eating properly?
Well, you don't have to get up in my face, General.
Well, Margaret, I think it's a little ignorant. Yeah, not eating properly? They were not eating at all.
Take it easy, General.
Well, I don't mind listening to the drivel and the... Would you turn the garbage down, please?
Yeah, it's a bitchin' song.
This is a love the garbage, is it? Okay.
Well, hold on. The reason why, when you say they weren't eating properly...
They weren't getting balanced meals, I know that.
No, General Shaw, turn it down, bud. General Shaw's right when he said that they weren't eating at all.
I wasn't aware of that.
Well, I think, Margaret, you needs to...
You needs? Oh, okay, Duck Dynasty.
Woo! You know what, I don't need this. I can go home and sit on my ass and watch Twilight Zone. I don't need you. Well, tonight,
thank God it's there. What I think of that?
Turn that down, bud. Thank you. Margaret, I agree with the general. It's,
Well, what are you getting all newscaster on me for, Phil?
Margaret, I agree with the general.
Yeah, Phil, y'all go to Margaret.
Hey. It wasn't that the people of Ethiopia were not getting balanced meals. They weren't eating. They were starving to death. Dig it? That's what was happening when that song came out in 83, Band-Aid. And by the way, Bob Geldof, who assembled that group of musicians, he of the Boomtown Rats, many people felt that he should, and I believe he was nominated, I could be wrong, for the Nobel Peace Prize. That's a pretty heavy ass. I don't think anybody from the world of rock and roll has ever been recognized for anything as heavy as a Nobel Peace Prize. I mean, a lot of them have been knighted. And
why don't we have something like that? You know, the British, they knight them and they give them the what is the one, Bud?
Yeah, to give them the order, they give them the British Empire, the king duke or something.
Yeah, that's they make them a duke.
They don't make them a duke.
Well, they've got these titles that they give them.
No, it's called the Order of the British Empire, the OBE. Okay?
Yeah, that's like, ain't that like a duke?
Well, it's a count or something?
No, it's the Order of the British Empire. I don't know what it is. It's distinguished service to the empire, distinguished service. I don't know. In America, we see this, that's the difference between the United States and the rest of the world. We don't have titles. We don't have duke and count and all that crap.
Well, no, but wait, but we have awards.
Yeah, we have awards. We give people awards. That's what we do in America. But we don't give them titles. It was one of the things that when the country was founded, the feelings against the royalty and the feelings against monarchy ran so high. And, of course, we had just gotten done with our war with the British. We didn't want to have anything to do with anything European. God knows we didn't want to have anything to do with anything British, and we didn't want titles. We didn't want that, this, that, none of that stuff. So, I mean, you're stuck, you know. If you're an American, if you're like from an American band, if you're in, I don't know, Pearl Jam, I don't know what you can hope for.
What about, like, get the Congressional Medal of Honor?
You can't get that.
That's a military honor only, bud. Don't go there. If you're telling me Pearl Jam, whoever they are, gets the Congressional Medal of Honor, mister, you're on the fighting side of me.
Hold on. He doesn't understand. Yeah, that's only for the military.
What about like a Bronze Star, stuff like that?
Military.
That's all military?
Yes.
Well, Phil, I don't know. What about the Purple Heart?
That's military. That's all guys that get shot up in wars.
But they got shot.
Who?
Pearl Jam.
Will you come get serious, man?
Will you come get serious? Boy, that sounded...
What were you trying to say there, Phil?
I said, will you get serious? There's nothing, you can give them the presidential citation. I think there's a presidential, I know what it is. There's a civilian thing you can get, and I think that's the presidential peace medal. Ain't that what that is?
Ain't that what that is? Oh, God. You know, Phil, we're never, ever really going to be considered a country of class individuals when we have people like you saying, ain't that what it is?
What is the presidential freedom thing?
It's some kind of a civilian award. You're right.
I can look it up, Mr. Senator, and find out if there's anything they can give them, but I'm not sure.
Jeff Dowder is a drummer with the band Dark Horse, and Jeff has been on our program many a time to talk about different things. We wanted to have you on, Jeff, to talk about Roger Waters, I'm sorry that you were not able to make it, but Jeff is over at Mr. Pooh's tonight, where his band holds forth two sets. About to go on stage tonight, Jeff?
Right now we're going to have a set. We've got the band that's leading in here. Very good friends of mine, as a matter of fact. I think these guys are really terrific, called the Arabs. And
the name of the band is the Arabs?
Yeah, the Arabs. They come from the San Gabriel, come from your neck of the woods, the San Gabriel Valley, and they're going to be on stage here, open for a second set, and then we're going to be over here, Mr. Pooh's.
What do you think of a couple of things I want to ask you? The Roger Waters story, and then a question I have for performers, you know, in America as opposed to in England, where they're always getting these, they're knighted and they get the OBE and all these other things. Here in the United States, not having titles, does it matter to you as an artist?
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter to me. I'd be happy if I got a platinum album or something. Judgment at Sunrise. We're still perfecting it, and we've been working on that album for going on 12 years now.
12 years? You've been working on what?
We've been working on Judgment at Sunrise, which is the album that we were working on. And
well, when are you guys going to be done with it?
We feel we're close. We're getting really close. I want to overlay some other tracks, and I think the vocals need to be remixed. We did lose our singer. Scotty Burrow, he died when the van, you know, we had a van incident up in Vancouver, Washington, where it went off a cliff. And
you lost your lead singer in a van, in the van crashed, huh?
Yeah, he was asleep, as a matter of fact, in the back of the van, and the brakes released, and it rolled off a cliff and down about 300 feet and then exploded at the bottom. So it was kind of messed up, but then we went and got another lead singer, and but we got to overlay the vocals.
I wanted to ask you, this lead singer, Scotty Burrow, he was in the back of the van, and he was asleep, and the brakes gave out?
Yeah, it was parked on a steep incline, and all of a sudden the brakes went out, and it rolled down a hill, and then it went down the cliff and exploded in a ball of flames at the bottom.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, I think it did. I don't know. But I know that he was in it, and they said that they couldn't, there was no point. I mean, they looked down the cliff, and they go, yeah, let's forget it.
Did it explode?
I'm assuming it did. I mean, it went down 300 feet, you know.
Yeah, it'd probably stand to reason.
Well, that doesn't mean anything. I mean, how do you? Did anybody see it explode?
Mr. Henry, it went down a cliff of 300 feet and then hit the bottom. I'm assuming it exploded, and I'm not saying, you know, the life is like a TV show, but that's what would have happened on the TV.
You idiot! The television's got nothing to do with real life.
Excuse me, General. I don't really appreciate, you know.
Well, I think real life is real life. And if you think, so the van went down, did anyone go down to see if the van was alive?
I mean, why? I mean, it went down 300 feet, and I'm assuming it was just a ball of dust, you know. I mean, they went down there, found the van, he wasn't in it. And
he wasn't in it?
No.
It went down 300 feet. Was it smashed up?
Yeah, I mean, it looked like it had gone down 300 feet, but they couldn't find him, so they just went, well, you know, he probably got vaporized or something in the explosion.
Wait a minute.
Hold on, Phil. How do you know it exploded if you found the van intact?
Well, the van was banged up pretty bad.
But did it look like it had been burning?
Do I?
Did the van look... you know, Phil, I'm going to... Did the van look like...
The general's voice is given out. Did the van look like it had been burning?
Did the van look like it had been burning? I'm not qualified. I'm not an arson investigator. But I'm assuming that it did.
Why do you assume it?
Because they didn't find Scotty, and I think he got vaporized.
See, that's what I'm saying. They didn't find Scotty, and they...
What's up with your voice, man?
He's got a problem with it drying out.
I'm going to get some water, and then I want to come back and talk to you.
What?
I said I'm going to get some water, and I want to go get some water, and then I'm going to come back and talk.
He's going to come back and talk to you. Look, I don't want to belabor it. You say that the van exploded, and did they ever find this man?
Well, I mean, how are you going to find a guy, Phil, that got vaporized?
What do you mean vaporized, man? What does that mean? Is that what the coroner called it? If you can't find a guy's body, you can't find any... Did they find DNA?
As far as I can tell, no.
Then where is the guy?
Mr. Henry, I know it's hard to explain, but if a guy goes down a cliff, don't it stand to reason he'll vaporize?
No, it doesn't stand to reason he'll vaporize. Not at all.
Let me tell you something. Your name is Jeff, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. You don't vaporize. Let me go get...
Okay. We'll take a break.
I don't know what's up with the general, but you better get...
Yeah.
That man, that doubter, and you've been talking to him for 12 years. He's been working on that album 12 years.
Yeah, but that's not the part that's scaring me tonight. The part that's scaring me is they lost their lead singer to a van accident where it went down a hill, hit the bottom. They went down, found it, and the guy's gone. I bet you he got thrown out of the van.
Yeah, I was going to say he probably got thrown out of the van and is dangling. You think about dangling from a branch?
Yeah, he might be dangling from a branch. He might have gotten thrown out into a tree or something. And
well, by now, the only thing that'll be hanging from the tree is a shirt and a pair of pants. With perhaps with nothing in it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there'll be the skeletal remains, don't you think?
Well, no, the skeleton will have slipped through the shirt and the pants to the ground, so the only thing that's there is the shirt and pants.
Wow.
Well, I don't know, Phil. How long has the man been gone?
I don't know. We'll have to ask Jeff. We'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry. This stuff is just giving me gives me the willies. I don't know what else to say. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Visit our online store for a backstage pass, 2 tiers of subscriptions, gift subscriptions, all kinds of goodies for Christmas time. The Phil Henry Show here on your station, and soon to be on your tune-in, baby, because within hours, we are going to be on tune-in, and we will have our own dedicated feed on tune-in, so you can simply enter our name, and you'll find the Phil Henry Show, and only the Phil Henry Show, right there, a dedicated feed to you. To listen to the show live. And what does that mean? It means that if we're not on in your area, on a radio station in your area, all you need is your smartphone and your TuneIn app, and there's the Phil Henry Show absolutely freaking deliciously live, okay? So for the time being, TuneIn is going to be our live presence in the smartphone world, which does not mean that we are not working toward a Phil Henry-only app, but... we do appreciate our relationship with TuneIn immensely, and that should be starting, as I mentioned, within hours. When it does, when I get the word, when I get it, you get it. When you get it, I get it.
Yeah, and you get it, I'll get it.
Well, no, when you get it, they'll get it.
Yeah.
What are you saying, bud?
Just when you get it, I'll get it.
You know, I don't appreciate the humor.
He doesn't mean anything by it. He's just, you know.
I know, but when I get it, let me tell you something, bud. When you get it, everyone will know that you got it.
What's that mean?
Yeah, that's not even funny.
I'm not trying to be funny.
Never mind, okay? Can we talk about the... So TuneIn, that's TuneIn.
And what is TuneIn?
TuneIn is an application that you use on your smartphone, and you go to it, and you hit your app, and you just enter Phil Henry, and there we are. You don't have to necessarily look up any individual stream. We will be there... in all of our bitchiness, in all of our bitchin' glory and all that stuff. So all these things are very hands-on stuff, though. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Well, because I got to make sure the artwork, are they using artwork? Is it the right artwork? I don't know. Blah, 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 boom. That's what comes of running your own network, you know.
Well, what makes you think? What do you say, artwork?
We're talking about the artwork, like the logo they use.
Yeah, but I got to make sure they're even using a logo. I mean, when we were first on Pandora, I looked at this Pandora presence that the Phil Henry Show had, and it was the most pathetic thing. There was no artwork. It was just, I don't know. I'm still not convinced Pandora is is all that great for somebody like me. I mean, if you're a big artist, a music artist, that's great. I don't know that Pandora is a place where people go for comedy, you know, or 2-3-4 minute comedy clips. So, and that was a little bit of a disappointing experience. So I think that with TuneIn, we want to make sure that we have at least some kind of a real presence there. So that's going to be happening, as I mentioned, probably should be happening before at least, well, I don't want to say, you know.
See, this is when you start saying, you know.
That's David. David Hall joins us. David is the vice president of syndication here for the world famous Phil Hendry Show. And David, how are you this evening?
I'm doing very good, Phil, and we've been driving around listening to the program. You're sounding good tonight. I wanted to jump on and tell everybody, yes, TuneIn is in the works. I know that I sent you the paperwork, and you wanted to send it to your attorney, and I said to you, you don't need to send it to your attorney. It's just a couple of adjustments here and there. Why pay the legal? And you were insistent.
No, I wasn't. No, I was not insistent.
Yeah, but you're always wanting to go to the lawyer, and I wanted to just...
See, here's where we get... Hold on for just a minute.
Can I finish what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, but this is where we get into the problem. You're always wanting to go to the lawyer. So right away, now people have an impression of me as being Mr. Legal.
Well, you wanted to send it to the lawyer, didn't you?
I wanted to send it to my attorney to look at it. Yeah, this is an agreement, folks, that you sign with TuneIn. No big thing, no big deal, you know. And you guys came back with, you don't need to do that. You can, it's only this and that. And I said, what did I say?
Well, it looked like you were crying a little bit.
No, it did not. You guys said to me, hey, Phil, no need to spend the money on legal. This is all they're talking about. And I said, cool.
Well, I'm looking at you didn't say cool. You said, okay.
Same thing, right?
No. What do you want, honey? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Daphne just said it seemed like you were giving them a hard time, but she understands. So we're going to, and I'd appreciate if you wouldn't make any comment. I just want you to know that, yes, we are going to stop off at Spud Nuts here in about a half a mile. Please don't make a comment.
That's Spud Nuts Donuts.
I just asked this jackass.
Bud, don't say anything, okay?
I asked you not to say anything.
Yeah, that's, you're stopping there on account of Daphne.
Bud, I'm going to kick you out. I'll kick you out of the studio.
What did I just got done saying to this guy? Not to say anything.
He's your fair-haired boy. That's Bud, you know.
Bud, I asked you not to say that we're stopping at Spud Nuts because Daphne needs another box.
She didn't have a cooler.
Yes, I asked you not to say anything.
But there you are saying it.
Yeah, what are you doing talking about it?
I'm telling you. How do I tell you what not to say if I don't say it? Please don't...
You know, David, I listen to this program at home, and then I come in here and I participate in this program, and I listen very carefully to all that's being said, and I have to draw the conclusion that there is some kind of brain damage afoot. I don't know if it's shared. I don't know if it's contagious. But what just transpired, that exchange between you, Dickman, and Phil, was among some of the dumbest conversation I think the world has ever known. Now, I was looking...
Well, General, I appreciate that, but don't include me in that.
Well, yeah, he is including you in that. And I agree with you, General, for once.
Well, you realize you're indicting yourself for being a real rube.
Yes, I understand that. I'll take the hit. So you're on your way to the Spud Nuts.
I just asked you guys... Oh, God. Did you hear her? She's screaming at me now because you guys are bringing up Spud Nuts. All right, so I just wanted you to know that TuneIn is on the way. I know you just did a big, long rap about it, but I want to get my 2 cents in because I am the vice president of syndication here on the program, and I think TuneIn will be great. I think when you finally get your own, I don't think we need your own app, but when you do get your own app, well, I guess I'm probably the overstaying my welcome, right?
Yes, you are. Goodbye.
All right, okay, I just...
So,
I can't believe he's driving around with her looking for crullers.
Well, I think that,
Yeah, they're looking for crullers, because she's always looking for them.
Enough of the conversation about crullers, okay? He's over at Spud Nuts, which is the... Actually, we ought to make Spud Nuts the official donut place of the Phil Hendry Show, because I got news for you, man. Man, that's a good donuts.
Pretty good, man.
Man, they some good donuts. And I'm not a donut eater now, but I can tell you, when I started eating donuts again... Seahawks cornerback Brandon Browner may have lost his appeal, but that doesn't mean his fight is over. The suspended cornerback released a statement on Wednesday saying that he disagrees with the circumstances of his one-year suspension and will fight the NFL with all legal resources available. Browner's agent, Peter Schaefer, echoed that sentiment on Twitter. They reported on Wednesday it was very likely that Browner would sue the league. Browner was hit with a one-year suspension for violating the league's substance abuse policy on November the 25th. The suspension didn't start right away, though, because Browner decided to appeal. This is the same Brandon Browner, by the way, who we had singled out, ladies and gentlemen, on that hit against the, I think it was the New England Patriots, Wes Welker. Everybody was talking about what a major league hit it was, and I'm sitting there asking myself, what are you talking about, man? The guy held on to the football. Do you dig it? If you're hanging on to the football, it's not a good hit, you know?
What does that mean?
We'll see you guys tomorrow, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.